CCTA Wake Up Call for January 7, 2023. January 7, 2023, wake up.
Wake up, Coastal Carolina. Wake up. This is your CCTA Wake Up Call.
Produced by the Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization dedicated to the preservation of the U.S. Constitution, free enterprise, and individual liberty.
Hello, Coastal Carolina, and welcome to CCTA Wake Up Call. I'm your host, Rick Hopkins, and thank you for joining us today. We appreciate you sharing your Saturdays and Sunday mornings with us, and hope you are really getting a lot out of our show. We have a really good one today. This is an exclusive. This has not been on any other broadcast media. We have a guest today, Paloma Capanna. And Paloma is a lawyer, and she's counsel for a number of people in New York. And she's getting ready to go through a Supreme Court case. And I'm not a legal expert, so I'm going to let her give you all the details. But the background on it is New York has recently passed a number of gun control laws, and they affect a lot of people, gun shop owners, citizens, Second Amendment, Fifth Amendment, Fourth Amendment rights, violating our constitutional freedoms and all that. So she's representing a group of these business owners that depend on their livelihood by being able to open up their doors and sell firearms. And I believe one of the things they did was try to restrict automatic weapons. So that would affect all gun owners there. But before we go to our guest, I'd like to play you a little something from YouTube that will thoroughly explain exactly what this is all about.
So not too long ago, it was impossible to get a concealed carry license in New York unless you can show proper cause. You either had to prove to the NYPD that you on a regular basis carried a lot of cash and or jewelry related to your business, or you had to have documentation of a death threat that the NYPD thought was credible. Or, and I kid you not, the governing authority of New York felt that you were a celebrity. You can't just be a regular law-abiding citizen who wanted to carry a gun for protection. No, you needed to show them proper cause. Thankfully, after years of litigation, the Supreme Court just ruled that New York's permit process was unconstitutional, in that it can't arbitrarily deny someone a carry permit simply because they didn't demonstrate a subjective proper cause. A lot of people were happy, and rightfully so, about this ruling. But on June 24th, I put out a video titled, "The Truth About the Supreme Court's Gun Ruling," where I said this. What New York is going to do now is try to restrict as many places as possible from people carrying firearms, which is going to make it so tough for people to carry firearms because they never know where they're going to go and whether or not they can come in or not come in with their firearms. They're going to make it so hard that people are going to be like, there's almost no point. Anybody want to take a guess what the Democrat leadership in New York did in response to the Supreme Court saying that people have a right to carry a firearm for their self-protection out in public?
So now state lawmakers are poised to adopt some new rules.
This has nothing to do with lawful gun owners, nothing to do with them at all.
But legal gun owners in New York who had to renew their concealed carry permits every 5 years will now have to do it every three. In addition, they now have to complete 16 hours of classroom training, 2 hours on a live range, and pass a written test with a score of at least 80%. Then you'd have to meet with a licensing officer for an interview, during which time you'd have to provide the names, ages, and contact information for members of your household and for references outside of it, people who could attest that you are of good moral character. Then you'd have to give up all of your current and past social media accounts so the licensing officer could look through them and see if anything you posted might, in their mind, be objectionable and disqualify you. If you clear all those hurdles, there would be an exhaustive list of places where you could not carry your gun, many of which already ban them. These include government buildings, schools, and medical facilities, but also churches, libraries, theaters, arenas, and stadiums. You could not carry your pistol in a park, on a playground, at a polling place, or at a parade or protest. You also couldn't carry in a bar or a restaurant which serves alcohol. In fact, under the new laws, you couldn't enter any private business with a legal gun unless they post a sign which says you can. And even if you mistakenly carry someplace you shouldn't, you could be charged with a felony where, if convicted, you would lose your right to keep and bear arms. The new laws also add another layer of bureaucracy when you go to legally purchase a gun. Lawful gun owners have long been subject to a background check at point of purchase through the National Instant Criminal Background Check, or NICS. But now, instead of the gun dealer doing it, they must turn it over to the state police to conduct that check and wait for them to do it before they can sell you the gun. There is no time limit for how long they may take, and the state police will also charge the dealer a fee to do what they used to do, which would likely be passed on to the customer. Same thing whenever you go to buy ammunition for your gun.
And so to the legal gun owners, we will protect your legal rights.
While it's long been the law that a felony record bars you from getting a pistol permit, the new law also adds several misdemeanors that would disqualify you, including misdemeanor DWI.
I hate to say it, but I told you so. But it gets worse. Here is what the governor of New York said when she was asked if she has the numbers to prove that permit holders are the ones actually committing crimes.
Do you have the numbers to show that it's the concealed carry permit holders that are committing crimes? Because the lawful gun owner will say that you're attacking the wrong person. It's really people that are getting these guns illegally that are causing the violence, not the people going and getting the permit legally. And that's the basis for the whole Supreme Court argument. Do you have the numbers?
I don't need to have numbers. I don't have to have a data point to point to say that this is going to matter. All I know is I have a responsibility to the people of this state to have sensible gun safety laws. I don't need a data point to make the case that I have a responsibility to protect the people of this state.
I am genuinely getting tired of saying this while proving it time and time again. These people don't care about saving lives. They care about controlling you. She doesn't care about the numbers because her goal is to make getting a concealed carry permit in New York so difficult no one will do it or be able to do it. This whole common sense gun measures nonsense is a lie. Them saying they want to find equal compromise on guns is a lie. Them claiming that they just want reasonable gun laws is a lie. Someone want to tell me, what's reasonable about giving someone a concealed carry permit and then saying they can't carry it anywhere they go? Where is the compromise in making the requirement to get a permit 10 times harder than it was before? How are you saving lives by making it nearly impossible for law-abiding citizens to carry a firearm for protection, especially when 7 in 10 New Yorkers say they fear they will become a victim of violent crime because of the ongoing crime wave that's going on right now in New York, irrespective of the fact that they have super tough gun laws? And don't get it twisted, though. She knows exactly what the numbers are, and that's why she doesn't want to say it. John Lott, the president of the Crime Prevention Research Center, compared the behavior of CCW holders to cops. And you want to know what he found? He concluded that concealed handgun permit holders are extremely law-abiding. Texas and Florida permit holders are convicted of misdemeanors and felonies at 1/6 the rate of which police officers are convicted. Among police firearm violations, they occur at a rate of 16.5 per 100,000 officers. Among permit holders in Florida and Texas, the rate of firearm violations is only 2.4 per 100,000. That is just 1/7 of the rate of police officers. In addition, misdemeanors which cost permit holders their license might have been speeding violations or other simple crimes that had nothing to do with concealed carry. So, in reality, concealed carry holders are probably likely even more law-abiding than these numbers suggest. She knows the numbers, but the numbers don't align with their anti-gun agenda. They don't want to talk about the numbers. They want to talk about feelings, because feelings is the easiest way to manipulate people to make decisions against their self-interest. She literally said, I don't care about the numbers. My job is to keep people safe. What the f- does that even mean? How the hell are you going to keep people safe when you don't even know where the danger is coming from? Most importantly, this should show you how much control is the goal over everything else with these people. That Supreme Court made the ruling on June 23rd, and in less than a week, they already had a new law ready to go to combat the ruling that literally simply said people are allowed to carry firearms in public to protect themselves. If this was a different issue, an issue that had something to do with improving the lives of the people, and making people better, making the city of New York a better place, how fast and how soon do you think they would be able to come up with a law to do that? I guarantee you it would take them an eternity. Guarantee you. But they were able to do this in less than a week. You want to know why? Because this is about their ability to control you and their continuation in power. That's it. Stop thinking that any of this has to do with saving lives. It doesn't. I've said it over and over and over again. It has nothing to do with saving lives. This has to do with them maintaining control and power. They don't like the idea, especially in New York. These privileged elite politicians hate the idea that the regular people in New York, who they despise, are walking around with firearms, being able to protect themselves. They don't even really give a about the protection aspect. They don't like the fact that they have to be surrounded by lowly people carrying firearms because they feel threatened. They don't feel safe. This is about their safety, not yours, theirs. Because at the end of the day, they have people with firearms to protect them. They make enough money to have other people hold their guns. Everyone else doesn't have that ability and the privilege, but they do. But they still do not want to feel threatened in the slightest. So they do everything in their power to make it as hard as possible for people to get concealed carry firearms to protect themselves because they don't want to be surrounded by those people with guns. People really have to start waking up and seeing the forest for the trees. These people are not trying to protect you. They're trying to control you and protect their power. That's it. You are your own first responder. That's why I make these hats. You are the militia. Somebody breaks into my house and starts trying to kill me. I am the militia at that point. Me and my gun that I decide to use to defend myself against a person trying to kill me. If I'm out in public, someone tries to kill me, I am the militia. The militia is there to stop someone threatening the sovereignty of your person or state. Get out of here with this nonsense that the militia is some other foreign government entity, which makes no sense. You are the militia. Don't let anybody tell you different.
You know, we talk a lot about empowerment in this country, except for when it comes to the Second Amendment. However, I can't think of anything more empowering than having the most effective tool to protect you and your family.
Okay, so that was Colleen Noir, that's C-O-L-I-O-N, Noir, N-O-I-R, on YouTube, talking about New York enacting some ridiculous new gun laws. Now we're going to our guest speaker, Paloma Capanna, and let her tell us what's going on with the Supreme Court case that she's working on in New York. Paloma, welcome to CCTA Wake Up Call, and give us a little bit more detailed explanation of why you're here.
Well, welcome, and thanks for having me. Let's just start with that auto, as you referenced it, because it's not semi-automatic rifles.
Right.
Semi-automatic rifles.
I'm sorry. If I did say auto, that was my mistake.
No, but you know, the reason why I start there and I emphasize it is that two of the new laws in New York require now a license for the purchase of a semi-automatic rifle and require an ammunition background check. It's hard to understand why we are even at this point. Is, I think, part of how our case went from filing on November 1st, already in just 60 days, to the United States Supreme Court. So we have just filed papers today, a petition for writ of certiorari before judgment. It's an extremely rare Rule 11 petition. And we are saying that this issue is of such national importance that it needs to be heard right away. We need to go straight to the front of the line. We need to jump all the slowdowns and measured time frames that normally accompany these lawsuits. And because the laws in New York are so extreme, we need to hear from the United States Supreme Court. So that's a little bit, if you will, my lead in. It's hard while I'm sitting here in beautiful Beaufort, North Carolina, right on the coast, where we think our Second Amendment rights are secure. It almost sounds like I'm Alice in Wonderland. But yeah. I can tell you that when I'm on the ground in New York, the average man and woman who supports the Second Amendment, the teenager who wanted to go out this fall for their first time hunting with an uncle, with a grandfather, the mood is very low. People are very beaten down as to their Second, Fifth, and 14th Amendment rights in particular. And this lawsuit could not come fast enough for them.
Well, for clarity for our listeners, let me give a little bit more background. I'm not going to go through all the plaintiffs, but this is in the Supreme Court of the United States. And I will list the defendants. Kathleen Hochul, in her official capacity as governor of the state of New York. Stephen I. Negrelli, in his official capacity as acting superintendent of the New York State Police. Rosanna Rosato, in her official capacity as the commissioner of the Department of Criminal Justice Services of the New York State Police. And last but not least, Letitia James, in her official capacity as the attorney general of the state of New York. So you've got some pretty high up defendants there.
Yes. Last summer, the United States Supreme Court issued their decision in the case of New York State Rifle and Pistol Association versus Bruin. That was issued on June 23. What happened was that Governor Hochul, the co-defendants, and other external groups like Everytown for Gun Safety and Giffords Law Center joined together and in the span of just a few days passed 10 bills loaded with new laws, including in particular a group of laws, approximately 30, that targeted against dealers in the state of New York who effectively tried to put them all out of business. Most of the laws that we are complaining about in this case took effect on December 5th of 2022 and are incapable of compliance. So, for example, there is a new law that talks about how many cameras you have to have at a gun store, both outside and inside and on the cash register, how you have to save 2 years worth of video surveillance footage, and you have to have a third party external company with access to your video. And the laws governing the licensing of that third party alarm system company in New York say it can be a person over 18 and with a criminal record.
Well, let me remind everybody that prior to this December the 5th, 2022, passing of those laws, all of these gun owners or gun store businesses were in full compliance with all federal and state laws and regulations governing their personal and professional license. Now, this is putting a real undue burden on them to try to comply with this new stuff. And Bob's got his hand up. Bob, your question?
Well, you know, first off, I'd like to, as I look through this thing, understanding the difference between a dealer or a gunsmith, or even as you mentioned in there, someone who sells ammunition. I just, the laws are so crazy. And then you bring up the fact of the cameras, that you have to have X number of cameras. And I would like to wonder what happened to the cameras on, was it Rikers Island when, what's his face?
Epstein.
Epstein. I thought we had cameras everywhere that were supposed to be working. But now it's only the private citizens that have to have working devices.
Well, but working devices at our expense, and we ran cost estimates for my clients, and it would run between $40,000 and $200,000 to comply. But the government wants to feed straight into this, right? They want this third-party external contractor to have access to the gun store. And some of my clients have a gun store that is contiguous to their home. Right. And a grandchild might be next door in the kitchen, for example, baking cookies. And you're going to tell me that a child who is a minor child could be videoed. There's another statutory provision where the New York State Police would be permitted access at any time that the store is open to come in and take the store owner's records, federal firearms compliance records, which includes even the serial number of the gun that you purchase. The United States Attorney General doesn't have that level of access under the major acts of Congress relating to the regulation of gun stores, that being the 1968 Gun Control Act, the 1986 Firearm Owners Protection Act, and then, of course, the Brady Act. So if the United States Attorney General does not have that level of authority to simply walk into a gun store and seize all of those records, do we really want that power to be given to the individual officer of the New York State Police?
So I'm under surveillance, even if I just come to browse, I'm under surveillance by the government.
Yes, that is correct. And another one of the new laws, no person under the age of 18 is permitted into the store without being accompanied by a parent or a guardian. So you're having to ask people for court orders, for example, to demonstrate that they are guardians. So to your point, Bob, many aspects of the new law infringe privacy. We did not even touch upon that entire, if you will, ball of civil rights, because what we would need to do that would be some customers to also be joined with us on the lawsuit. So what we have done is take things from the perspective of the store owner, primarily, to try to argue things like federal preemption, to say, look, the federal government already occupies this field. We are a heavily regulated industry. Do not listen to anything an anti-gunner tells you about loopholes all over the place. And, you know, they make it sound like you just walk in and just get a gun for free, and there's no background check, and there's no licensing, and there's no background check of a gun store owner every 3 years, right? The misperception, the narrative, the, you know, I'm really looking for the right word here, but the smear, I suppose, is really what it comes down to, is the smear against the gun store is that it's very simple. It's just like opening a boutique and selling a handbag and a pair of dangle earrings. And that simply is not true.
So if I'm walking into an upstate New York and I'm walking into a sports shop, am I under surveillance when I'm looking at the fishing gear, or I'm looking at other sports information, or is it only is the license holder responsible for all of my activity within the store? I mean, that's the way it sounds like they've written the law.
Yes. So none of the laws actually moderate themselves to the size of the shop. So some of my clients have very small stores, about 500 square feet, and others up to 5,000 square feet. For the average store that you walk into, at least in terms of west of the Hudson River in New York State, there might be fishing gear, as you say. You might be going there with your grandson and a couple of his friends to get fishing licenses. Well, guess what? You're going to have to leave them outside if they're under the age of 18. You can't even walk in there for your Norman Rockwell moment. True Americana. Here you go, just to go fishing and get your fishing license. And you can't do it that way anymore. So it is not even just an attack on the gun stores. It is an attack on our way of life. It's an attack on the history, on intergenerational history. I mean, look at the average gun show, for example. You go in, you might even have a bookseller who is selling books on American history. Well, you can't take your nephew if you want to go to that gun show just to get some books to supplement what he or she is learning at school, because they're under 18 and you're an uncle.
The thing that I'm hearing here is this is a way to really take away the rights given in the Second Amendment without directly taking away the rights given, or protected is a better word, by the Second Amendment. This is regulation to take away Americans' rights.
Yes, and Mary, I think you touch on an interesting point. The United States Supreme Court, through its major decisions beginning in 2008 with Heller, then McDonald in 2010, and now Nicerpa versus Bruin in 2023, has made it clear that there can't be a ban. And so this is New York's way of creatively doing everything short of using the word ban. Mm-hmm. So here's another one of the new tricks that the state of New York is trying out through its new laws. Let's go back to that semi-automatic rifle license. The New York State Police were required under the law to actually issue the format for the new license, and it is to include a photograph. Well, that was effective September 1st. It is now, as we record, January 4th. The New York State Police have not yet released to the county clerks the format for the semi-automatic rifle license. No one can get one. Semi-automatic rifle sales and purchases in New York have stopped. Oh, but it's not a ban. It's not a ban, Mary, right? It's not a ban. They are simply failing to issue the critical direction for the county clerks in 62 counties to be able to give an individual a semi-automatic rifle license. Now, to our way of looking at things, to our argument to the Supreme Court, that is a ban. That's one example. There are 32 separate examples that we have identified of failures of the New York State agencies to perform their required functions under the new laws. That's how jammed up we are in New York under the new law.
I want to back you up a minute just to ask a question, and this may be something I missed. This was a law passed by the New York State Legislature?
Supposedly. It was... It's not a normal legislative process. It is not the way we do things here in North Carolina. You know, in North Carolina, we still have a two-party system that actually functions as two parties. There's open debate on the floor. Bills are numbered. They're introduced as a constituent. I can download them. I can call my local North Carolina senator and give his staff person my input. None of that happened in New York. 10 bills jammed through the legislature, and the biggest one of those bills actually happened on something called extraordinary session. So Governor Kathy Hochul issued a proclamation, that's the title of the document, a proclamation demanding the legislature to report on a specific day, and she gave them the bill, which they passed in the dark of night, literally the dark of night, so that she could go to the microphone the next day and perform for the media.
Wow. Just wow.
And that seems to be the operative word is wow. That seems to be what everybody comes back to. Because it doesn't sound like it could be true. Fortunately, there's at least that much legislative record that the proclamation is a piece of writing and she has signed it and the vote tally can be counted. But here's, if you will, the tweak for me. So today there were some articles going about on both our case, the Gazzola versus Focal case, and also another case, Antoniuk versus Negrelli, which is equally against these concealed carry regulations in particular. And I was amazed to be reading quotes from New York State legislators saying, oh, this is good, you know, in sum and substance, the United States Supreme Court can now take care of this. And I blew up. For the first time since this whole thing started, I actually was shouting over here in my office saying, you failed us. This is not the job of the United States Supreme Court. This is the job of the legislature. Y'all needed to push back and say, look, it's 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock. in the evening. We are gaveling out. We are going home. We are going to allow our constituents to weigh in on this issue. We are going to send it back to committee for detailed hearings. The first line of defense was the legislature, and it simply went along with whatever this governor wanted.
Paloma, do you ever have the feeling that a lot of our officials have no idea what the Constitution says, how laws are supposed to be made?
Well, some years ago, I was willing to give them that benefit. I have since become more seasoned, Mary.
Yeah.
And in New York, senators, state senators, and state assemblymen and women have said to me, to my face, in personal meetings, oh, you know, we didn't even have a chance to read the bill before we voted on it. Oh, we didn't know what the bill said before we vote. Oh, you know, we're so busy, we get so many bills, we can't read them all.
And then they shouldn't be voting on them.
That is correct, Rick. I do not accept that as an excuse. Once right. you're an elected official, every one of them has a bully pulpit, not just the governor. So do what you have to do. You right. walk out the floor of the assembly. You go to, there's TV stations right there at the Capitol, walking distance. You walk down the street to Channel 10 Albany, and you say, hi, ABC, would you like to put me on the air? Because I'd like to give you a live interview. You tell me that that station isn't going to rush a microphone and clip it to your T-shirt for you
Absolutely.
To speak out.
If they're any decent institution whatsoever. Well, look, we need to take a quick break. Before we do, I want to stress to the listeners that what the petitioners are trying to do here is they're urgently seeking a preliminary injunction against these laws to keep their doors open so they can continue to run their business and feed their families. And they're also fighting to restore their civil rights and our civil rights. So we'll get back into discussion right after we hear from our sponsors.
Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out RightWingGranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to RightWingGranny.com.
The God and Country Christian Alliance has a simple mission, but it is a profound one. They want to inform and educate the public on issues of moral and political concern. They want to restore the Judeo-Christian values upon which this nation was founded to all levels of government. And they want to encourage and activate pro-family voters. Simple, but not easy. The God and Country Christian Alliance meets the third Monday of every month at Moore's Barbecue on MLK in New Bern. Meetings begin promptly at 7 p.m. and end by 8:30. To enjoy dinner with the group before the meeting, arrive between 6 and 6:30. Both the food and the company are good. Meetings include speakers and discussion, and their annual banquets are legendary. Join them on the third Monday of each month for a refreshingly candid view of the world and our place in it.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, a photographer, someone that ran their own business, someone retired from the military, just people in the community that love this country and have a desire to do their part to lower taxes and shrink government, to protect individual liberty, and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. We welcome you to come out to a meeting. If you like what you see and hear, there's a place where you can contribute to the cause. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. The group meets every third Tuesday at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown New Bern to enjoy a fantastic speaker and report on CCTA activity since the last meeting. If you've been disappointed with rising taxes and government intrusion, don't just complain. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Again, our guest tonight is Paloma Capanna, and we're talking about a Supreme Court case in the state of New York. And the case is against the governor and attorney general and some other high up New York officials there that are trying to squelch the gun rights. Let's just put it that way. Also, in your description, Paloma, when you were talking about the information they're collecting, the cameras and all that, I think I read somewhere in there where they are creating a database. We're not supposed to have gun registration in this country. So is that what this database is all about?
Yes. For the first time, of which I am aware, New York State Police are now authorized to create a gun owner's registry under the new law. What they are trying to do to populate that database is to seize the federal firearms compliance records of gun stores. So there are 1,782 FFL Type 01 dealers in New York and only 9 pawn shops in the entire state. That's a Type 02 FFL. So if we say roughly 1,800 stores, what they have authorized is for the New York State Police twice a year to get full no redaction copies of the ATF form 4473. Y'all know what's on that. That's lots of personal information right down to your social security number. And copies of what's called the book of acquisition and disposition. So in the shorthand in the industry, we call this the A&D book. The gun store is the only space in which that record exists in its original format. Even when a background check is run, not every piece of information transfers to the ATF. And that is all by design. Under the new law, this information will go to the New York State Police, where they will be merging it into larger scale databases. Mind you, no definition or restriction on the use of that database. And they're going to be pulling records into it to merge from the Office of Court Administration. Now that involves law licenses. And the Office of Health, which involves doctor and medical health professional licenses. And so you get this picture, it's a very Orwellian picture, that all licensing in the state of New York is going to start to congeal into a police state where the New York State Police will have discretion on licensing and access to all of these records. We are here. I mean, this is not theoretical. This is not Congress sitting around in 1968. This is not Congress in 1986. This is not even Congress under the Brady Act. I mean, it wasn't until the Brady Act that we shifted the background check for handgun purchases from local law enforcement doing a background check on paper and making that approval to the gun store. This is how fast technology has brought us to the minute that I think is the penultimate minute that, thank God, our forefathers, I mean, can you imagine Madison and Hamilton and Jay, you know, sitting around talking about things? What were they thinking in 1791? Could they have had the imagination to think about the supercomputers of 2023? Probably not. But is it really any different than having someone's name on a piece of paper before the king and the king dispatching his troops? It's really just a matter of scale. And what you are talking about is now thousands of people, tens of thousands of people, being brought to the attention of the Queen, and the Queen dispatching the troops to say, go to this person's door, knock on the door, get their firearms, read the serial number, and check the book.
And you also have to wonder, who else are they sharing this information with? Who else is going to have access to that data? How far is it going to go?
Here's the irony of how far this is going to go. Because sitting right next to my desk, spring of 2018 is when I moved to Coastal Carolina. And I arrived here on the eve of submitting a petition to the United States Supreme Court 5 years ago in the case of Robinson versus Sessions. Now, we did not have the court composition in 2018 to cause me much hope, and indeed our petition was not granted cert. But in the case of Robinson versus Sessions, what we learned at the Second Circuit, because the federal government admitted every single time you fill out that form 4473, you are checked against the terrorist screening database, which is not permitted as a matter of federal law, but it is happening every single time. So when you say, Rick, how far can this data go? What we learned and established through Robinson versus Sessions is it does not even stop at the United States border. They call it sharing information with coalition partners. They call it sharing information with third-party contractors necessary to the security and defense of the United States. And what I will tell you is it means that the data goes all over the world.
Foreign countries, what is it, Five Eyes, all that stuff. Yeah. Mary?
I'm going to make a prediction here, and I hope I'm wrong, but I'm going to make a prediction. If the Supreme Court rules in your favor, which it should, I'm going to predict that within the year, two of the moderate, quote, Democrat, unquote, judges will retire and be replaced by more liberal judges in an attempt to throw the court so they can get this through. Because I think this elimination of the Second Amendment rights promised in the Constitution has been a goal of the political left for a long time.
Mary, once again, I think you just have your finger on the pulse. So if you have extra hours and you want to come work with me on this case, you let me know, because I think you are reading the tea leaves. When I filed the complaint on November 1st, my phone rang on November 2nd, the very next day. Now, our complaint is long. It's 126 pages of extremely detailed allegations, right down to the last penny of cost estimates on the individual. And I was surprised to see who it was, and I answered the phone, and here he was to say he had just read my complaint and to say some very nice words. And he said to me, you're going to lose at district court. You're going to lose at the Second Circuit. Your only job is to run this football up the field as fast as you can while we still have these judges on the court. And that man is Tom King, who is the executive director of New York State Rifle and Pistol Association. And, you know, to hear that when you first start a case, you think to yourself, well, that's just kind of a sad prediction. Because I thought I had a pretty darn good chance. You know, you start a case and you're like a shiny penny, and, you know, you go into district court and you're doing the best you can. And I have 10 clients who have not been in court before. And so, you know, they're all wide eyed and optimistic and idealistic. And, but then the district court judge denied us a hearing. And she said, no, you cannot have a temporary restraining order. And she did it through something that the Pacers court system calls a text order. So, I mean, we got a sentence. Okay, wow. She was, okay, I'm not going to take that personally. Let's just quickly get to the Second Circuit. So I filed an emergency motion in the Second Circuit Court of Appeals in New York City. I mean, these are learned men and women. Let's see if they won't, you know, bring the situation under control. I file my papers, my opponent files his papers. I then have a right of reply. They deny me before even my time had expired to submit my reply, and they did it in one sentence too. So, you know, to Tom King's point, I do not think that he was predicting I was going to get this whole thing done in 60 days, but we have about set a United States record for getting to the Supreme Court faster than anybody, except for one other case, New York Times and the Washington Post, back in 1971. when they came into position of and wanted to publish the papers concerning the analysis of the Vietnam War. They did it in 21 days. We did it in 30.
Well, Paloma, we're going to have to take another break here shortly. But before we do, I want to inform our listeners that they can go to the supremecourt.gov website and they can search for case number 22A591. Is that correct?
Yes.
And you'll be able to read the whole case, the main document here, proof of service, all that's right there on the Supreme Court website. Again, that's supremecourt.gov and search for case number 22A591. We're going to take another quick break to hear from our sponsors. When we come back, there's another case Paloma wants to tell us about.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swanspur, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, Wellness Educator and Nutritional Consultant at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news. Coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Again, our guest is Paloma A. Capanna. Paloma is an attorney for a number of petitioners in the state of New York in a Supreme Court case dealing with Second Amendment rights. And Paloma, I personally want to thank you for taking on this case, because as you said during break, no other agencies jumped in there and did anything. So I guess you just took ball and ran with it.
I showed up for the gunfight. And it's funny because when the bills started passing, I actually assumed that there would be other national level and New York State level players, if you will, who would themselves file. I mean, a lot of different departments and organizations have in-house counsel who they're paying full time to be looking at these issues. And so I had expected, you know, perhaps the New York State Sheriff's Association. I had thought that perhaps the National Shooting Sports Foundation. I even had thought that the County Clerks Association, you know, given the problems with implementation that they were having at the county level. But it really boiled down to the days were going by. And so I was doing research. And I'm watching and I'm waiting, and other lawsuits were getting filed. So there are 7 other lawsuits that relate to the individual concealed carry permit holder. And in particular, these notions of quote unquote sensitive and restricted places in New York, where right now you're not permitted to carry and you're supposed to remove your firearm from your person and put it in a locked container in the trunk of your car and out in public, like even if you go to get gas and want to walk in and get a pack of gum. But nobody was filing on behalf of the gun shops. And I couldn't understand that, because to me, these laws are very clearly targeted to put the industry out of business. And when I started looking into Kathy Hochul's speeches, I came across a speech that she gave in Yonkers, New York, and she literally said, and this is up on her website, it's her transcript of her speech up on her official New York State Governor website, and she said, there are no gun stores here. And I thought, well, if that doesn't communicate what your thoughts are on the subject, particularly when you consider that Yonkers is home of Kimber manufacturing.
Yeah.
And Kimber actually has multiple separate FFL-07s for manufacturing, because you have to have a license for each one of your physical premises where you are conducting your activity. So, you know, Kimber may have moved many of its jobs out of state, but it was born and raised in New York, in Yonkers, very near to where she was standing. And I thought, well, that's it. We have to pull the trigger. We have to file. No idea where this is going to go. You know, it's just, if you will, our small but mighty. That's our motto, small but mighty. Little gun store owners, mom and pop store gun owners, where we have 3 licensees, more than 50 years. So we've got the knowledge, absolutely, of the Constitution, the history of the Congressional Acts, all of the federal regulations. And as Rick said at the onset, and I thank you for emphasizing that, up until the day these laws went into effect on December 5, my clients were in compliance with everything straight the way along for all of the days and nights that they have been in business. They are part of the front line against illegal gun sales. And yet, here they are being targeted to put them out of business.
Right. Well, Paloma, we're about out of time here. So, again, I want to thank you for taking a stand and stepping up. You're not just representing them. You're representing every U.S. citizen there is, because if we don't stop it there, it's just going to spread like wildfire all around. And one of the main purposes of this, if folks that are listening, if you didn't catch on to it, one of the main things here is to gather data on who out there they have to fear taking a stand against the tyrants. That's what that database is all about. They want to know who's out there, who's got the weapons, and who they can go after before they make their next big move. And you can take that to the bank.
Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
Hey folks, here's a tip. When you think firearms and ammo, think East 70 Palm. They've been on Highway 70 east of New Bern across from the fairgrounds for 31 years. Drew Preston and his staff know firearms. Gun sales have tripled in under a year, and women shooters are the fastest growing part of their business. Their great inventory, over 300 guns in stock, changes daily. And if you want something they don't have, they'll look for it. New and used, rifles, shotguns, and pistols. Buy, sell, or trade. and they also have many holsters, scopes, and other gun accessories. Every member of the staff is deeply knowledgeable, and every one of them is an excellent shooter. So don't just come for the inventory. Come for the thoughtful advice. East 70 Palm, your home for firearms, ammo, and answers. Highway 70 East, New Bern, across from the fairgrounds.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out RightWingGranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to RightWingGranny.com.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swansboro, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
How would you like to buy a present, be inspired, and have your spirits lifted? It's easy. Just visit Carolina Creations at 317 Pollock Street in downtown New Bern. You'll find an amazing array of gallery-worthy paintings, one-of-a-kind jewelry, pottery, glassware, greeting cards, personal adornments, and all sorts of temptations. Everything is displayed to please the eye. Prices run the gamut from a few dollars to a few thousand dollars. Many items are by local artists and artisans. Carolina Creations has been voted Best Gallery, Best Gift Shop, and Best Jewelry Store by the Sun Journal's readers. Stop in and see why. The friendly, knowledgeable staff will let you browse to your heart's content or swing into helpful mode if that's needed. You'll enjoy a visit to Carolina Creations. That's a promise.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. So Paloma, thank you again for joining us tonight for CCTA Wake Up Call.
Rick, would you repeat the case before the Supreme Court, the case number?
I sure will. That's case number 22A Alpha 591. And you can find that on the supremecourt.gov website. And Paloma, what's the timeline? When do you expect this to be heard?
Because I filed both a motion and a petition under Rule 11, the judges can rule at any time.
Well, please keep us informed, up to date on what's going on so we can get you back on here. And again, many thanks for what you're doing. Folks, that's all the time we have for today's show. Thank you for tuning in. And tell people about the show. It's on our website. If you didn't catch it on the radio, you can always go to the website, cctaxpayers.com. The shows are archived up there. And please join us at one of our public meetings, third Tuesday of every month. That's all for today. We'll talk to you again next week.
Second Amendment, Amendment to the Constitution of the United States, adopted in 1791 as part of the Bill of Rights, that provided a constitutional check on congressional power under Article I, Section 8 to organize, arm, and discipline the federal militia. The Second Amendment reads, "A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed." Referred to in modern times as an individual's right to carry and use arms for self-defense, the Second Amendment was envisioned by the framers of the Constitution, according to College of William and Mary Law Professor and future U.S. District Court Judge Street George Tucker in 1803 in his great work Blackstone's Commentaries, with notes of reference to the Constitution and laws of the federal government of the United States and of the Commonwealth of Virginia, as the true palladium of liberty. In addition to checking federal power, the Second Amendment also provided state governments with what Luther Martin, 1744-48-1826, described as the last coup de grace that would enable the states to thwart and oppose the general government. Last, it enshrined the ancient Florentine and Roman constitutional principle of civil and military virtue by making every citizen a soldier and every soldier a citizen.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, a photographer, someone that ran their own business, someone retired from the military, just people in the community that love this country and have a desire to do their part to lower taxes and shrink government, to protect individual liberty, and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. We welcome you to come out to a meeting. If you like what you see and hear, there's a place where you can contribute to the cause. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. The group meets every third Tuesday at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown New Bern to enjoy a fantastic speaker and report on CCTA activity since the last meeting. If you've been disappointed with rising taxes and government intrusion, don't just complain. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.